common language and definitions were required to develop an agreed framework spanning the four working groups for the Stroke Recovery and Rehabilitation Roundtable Task Force. The Stroke Recovery and Rehabilitation Roundtable Task Force, otherwise known as the SRRR, was convened with the aim to move rehabilitation and recovery research forward. Working collectively across four initial priority areas, the SRRR Roundtable Task Force reviewed, discussed, and attempted to achieve consensus on key recommendations in each of the areas of translation of basic science, biomarkers of stroke recovery, measurement and clinical trials and intervention, development and reporting. I'm Carmen Leif Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, and I spoke to Dr. Karen Borschman and Dr. Kate Haywood, researchers involved in the SRRR project, about the definitions in recovery and rehabilitation research and how they evolved during this project.
Kate Haywood, postdoctoral fellow in the Brain Behaviour Lab at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, Canada, the AVERT Early Rehabilitation Research Group Stroke Division at the Florey Institute of Neuroscience and Mental Health, and the National Health and Medical Research Council Centre of Research Excellence in Stroke Rehabilitation and Brain Recovery.
I'm Karen Borschman. I'm a postdoctoral researcher at the Florey Institute, also in the Stroke Division. And like Kate, I'm a postdoctoral early career researcher through the NHMRC Centre of Research Excellence. I'm based in Melbourne, Australia.
Okay, great. So the paper that we're talking about today is Agreed Definitions and Shared Vision for New Standards in Stroke Recovery Research, which is a part of the Stroke Recovery and Rehabilitation Roundtable Task Force. So, Kate, could you give us a little bit of a background? Why is it important as a part of this series of papers to have a definitions paper?
It was important to have a definitions paper so that we are all on the same page, using common terminology, assessments, and time points to allow for a shared dialogue, particularly in the Stroke Rehabilitation and Recovery Roundtable, where we have four working groups trying to come together and build a consensus for the field going forward for the preclinical, biomarkers, measurement and intervention groups. It was a complex discussion to come up with the agreed definitions because rehabilitation research in the recovery field is also complex. It's multidisciplinary and it's long-term in its nature. The important thing to consider when you're reading our definitions paper is that it's also a living document that will change as we learn more about stroke recovery. So the definitions are where we are as a field at the moment, but hopefully these will evolve over time as we learn more about the biological processes that drive recovery and the critical aspects that are important for our research design.
One of the key conversations that we did have, and you know, this was 60 people, eminent researchers from around the world, was really starting to talk about the difference between recovery and rehabilitation. Because rehabilitation is more of a process of care or a process of achieving improvements, whereas recovery is much more the biological processes and the big thinking, the big blue sky plans for the future that we're hoping to achieve is recovery after stroke, so brain repair specifically. So we want to help people to make recovery to their motor systems or their neural systems rather than just more of a compensatory approach. I think it was also important to have the conversation between the biomarkers groups, the clinical translational groups, and the preclinical researchers to make sure that we were all understanding what we were all talking about. For example, if we were talking about recovery, what does recovery actually mean? Does that mean the ability to do something, or is it the ability to pick up a cup, or is it the ability to move the muscles in a coordinated fashion to be able to pick up that cup? And that's quite an important distinction.
So you're saying that it's a living document, and obviously that means that you have hopes for it to move forward with you in the future. So do you imagine that the definitions of things will change, or will this lock these definitions in and then drive forward the research?
I think it won't lock anything in. I think that the thing perhaps that will change the most is the time frames and understanding the biological processes related to the time frames. Currently, we've got the hyperacute, the acute, the early subacute, the late subacute, and the chronic time frames, and we've defined those in the paper related to what we know is happening with the biology. But as we better understand the biological processes, we may need to tighten some of those time frames. For example, early subacute, which is currently up to 3 months after stroke, there's a lot going on in that 3 month time period, and so perhaps we might need to say 6 weeks is more important focus for our attention, or perhaps we might extend it out to 16 weeks, something like that.
So what was your starting point in developing the definitions?
So the starting point in developing the definitions was that we went back to the literature that was available and out there, and we went through that to try and think, well, where have people defined these terms? What's the current knowledge base around that? And then use those as a launch pad for us to the people involved to be able to go, well, how do we find those terms? How do they fit with our current knowledge? Do they need to be adapted and evolved? And leverage that literature to be able to come up with these definitions to go forward. As Karen said, what we needed was some consensus around the big terms. There was many blanket terms that are used in stroke rehabilitation and recovery, including rehabilitation and recovery, that we needed to make sure as a field that we're really on the same page so that we can start to have these radical new aims in our treatments coming forward.
As Kate was saying, we looked at what was already existing and we didn't want to be reinventing the wheel, but we needed to make sure that we were all using a terminology and a consistent approach. So we based a lot of our discussions on the ICF model, the International Classification of Functioning and Disability and Health, to make sure that what we were discussing was related to existing fairly universally approved models. And then worked from there.
And did you find a lot of diversity? Like, did you have an international perspective, or did you just go to what the top bodies were, like things that were supported by the WHO?
We did a lot of searching. I spent hours Googling different aspects of what other groups had done. And so we had American work, we had European work, we had Asian work, and Australian. So everything that was already existing on the international landscape of stroke research, we covered.
Why this specific set of terms?
What we focused on specifically, or generally, in the first round table as well, we need to note we're already starting to prepare for the second round table. To give us some sort of focus, we generally discussed motor recovery, knowing that a lot of the existing research has been focused on motor systems and motor recovery. Also knowing that a lot of the work in the motor, the principles could be related into other areas such as cognition and mood, but we also know that there's other aspects that can't be translated into those areas. So we thought, well, for the first round table, we'll focus more on the motor system, and that helped us to start the discussions of, well, what is true recovery and how can we differentiate true recovery from compensation, because that's a really important thing to consider.
And what do you mean when you say compensation?
Compensation might be instead of what we might consider a normal motor pattern, such as when you're reaching for a cup, you know, the coordination of the muscles between your shoulder, your elbow and your wrist. If you're getting back to a true or a normal pattern, you'll be reaching out at the different points in that trajectory. But if you're compensating, you'll possibly be using more trunk muscles, for example. It might be leaning forward or using your other arm. So compensation means using a new process to achieve that same goal.
So one of the other areas of specific terms that we focused on was the time frames post-stroke. So we wanted people to be able to, when they're talking about a trial or a study that they've conducted, that if they say, I conducted a study in the acute stage of recovery, that we knew what that time window was of where they did their research. So 1 to 7 days post-stroke or that if they were doing chronic research, that they're talking about stroke survivors who are more than 6 months post-stroke. And in this way, then we could start to think about understanding, comparing and reproducing trials. And we came up with the definitions of the time frames post-stroke by pulling in information both from the preclinical models of stroke as well as individuals living with stroke, so that it started to be based more in the biology of recovery rather than when we thought we might just be doing our research.
So do you see this collation of terms under this banner being a launching pad to the next level of research in this area? I mean, what's it going to look like?
Now that we've got this framework, we can actually start to implement it in both the preclinical and the clinical studies, and we can start to incorporate it into the design of new trials. This will allow us to have much more consistent approaches to the way that we're actually undertaking trials in the future, and that will help us to be able to compare trials, to be able to pool data, and to be able to replicate a lot more other people's work as well. And this will really help us to better unpack and understand the trajectories of recovery and what might be influencing people's recovery after stroke.
The collation of the terms does give us a launching pad to go forward, and in the paper we identified several key areas as the way forward, and Karen touched on a few of them, such as understanding natural history of recovery better and how we can use stratification in trials. By understanding studies that were done at certain time points, we can start to narrow down, well, what should be the focus for a stratification variable, for instance. And we can start to characterise different stroke recovery phenotypes as well. So if we have a common terminology and language that we're using and time points post-stroke, we can identify those subgroups of people. We've often found that we've had responders and non-responders in trials, but without the consistency in the language that we use around terminology and timeframes, it's been challenging for us to be able to really unpack those different aspects.
Okay, great. So how likely is it that this collation of terms will engender a more multidisciplinary approach?
Way forward does include those future research and collaboration topics, which really do hope to have a multidisciplinary approach as we go forward. The processes that underpin MOTA, which is what the focus of, or large focus of this first round table was, are translatable to some of the other domains as well. And this living document provides this new dialogue and collective investment that we hope to see across the multidisciplinary field to go forward. Two of our key ways for moving forward that do emphasise the multidisciplinary approach is this cross-training of new researchers to both build capacity and linkages, and this is particularly so for basic and clinical researchers. But also we'd like to see clinical centres of excellence developed where clinicians understand, advocate and apply treatments at the right time and right dose to their current best practice knowledge. But there is also research embedded in these centres that goes across that multidisciplinary field.
Some of the big recent trials that we've had, such as the AVERT study, the early rehabilitation trials, or the ATTEND trial in India, that's really brought stroke recovery and rehabilitation up to the forefront of people's minds. The earlier research that has been done into the acute stroke has really improved people's recovery after stroke, but now it's time to really push the agenda of recovery long-term after stroke. And so there's been a lot of international interest in these papers and in the work that's been done, and people are eagerly awaiting, now we've had the publications of the papers, the next stage, what's happening next, we need to push this forward. And so I think there's a lot of motivation to really start pushing this area much more.
Focusing on what Karen highlighted, that we're really trying to understand recovery, is that we don't really know what is possible, and we really want to understand, well, what is possible? And there's a big push for more aspirational research, which really seeks to achieve the largest effect sizes to get the greatest benefits of stroke survivors. And hopefully this collection of work will be a catalyst for the field to be able to really push forward and continue to take on aspirational research.
You've been listening to a podcast interview with Kate Haywood and Karen Borschman, researchers involved in the Stroke Recovery and Rehabilitation Roundtable Project. This project was developed under the impetus of Professor Julie Bernhardt, Associate Editor for the International Journal of Stroke. The International Journal of Stroke is the flagship publication of the World Stroke Organization. Please consider becoming a member.